Hey, Matt here. Hope you're looking forward to the finale of The Tide. If you want to support us making things in the future, or you just want to say thank you for this thing, it is a limited show, so we don't have a Patreon or any ongoing monetization thing that you might find from a podcast. But if you want to go to buymeacoffee.com/T-Horse, you can give us money there if you want. You don't need to. Like, I appreciate that this is a piece of free media. It's a short piece of media, and we've loved making it. But if you would like to see more from us, and if you'd like to patronize the arts, head over to buymeacoffee.com/T-Horse. Now, settle down, find somewhere dark, and enjoy the final episode of The Tide.
Content warning. This episode of The Tide includes a mention of suicide and the death of a minor.
The Tide. Don't move. Stay right there. Don't come any closer. Don't run for the door. Don't run anywhere. Just stay where you are. Casey's hands are trembling, but he is holding the gun like somebody who knows what he's doing. His eyes are very focused.
Casey, I need you to calm down.
I'm calm.
You don't look calm.
You shouldn't have come up here. I tried to warn you away.
The only thing I need warning away from is you.
Exactly. If you hadn't come anywhere near me, you might have lived.
I'd have had the same questions.
His face twists a little bit. He flinches and cricks his neck. He's moving the gun between you and Morgan, who are both kind of lined up against the control bank. You are near the door, but not so near that you like your chances.
All we're here to do is ask questions. We're not a threat to you.
I know why you're here. Even if you don't, you're here to kill me.
That's not true.
That's what it wants, isn't it? That's what it's been telling you.
No. No, it hasn't.
The dreams you've been having?
Yeah.
You told me. The visions?
Mm-hmm.
Your friend's death?
Yes.
Leading you here.
The questions that we asked led us here, not the dreams. You've been looking for something just like us, and we didn't know what it was, but you do.
He nods and sniffs slightly. I've had it for years now. I can hear it.
Hang on, slow down. You've had what? Hear what?
The Tide. Morgan takes a step forward, and immediately Casey trains the gun on him. I said, don't move!
Calm down, both of you. We're just here to ask questions, Casey. This is not an easy place to do that.
Morgan says.
You did it, didn't you,
Morgan? I wheel around to Morgan.
Sure.
We can't know. There's just more questions than answers here.
He's got the answers. Look at him.
He's got the answers and a gun, and those answers might not be what we assume.
Morgan shakes his head and says,
I don't care. He did it.
I take a step toward Morgan.
Casey fires the pistol. You see him out of the corner of your eye. He jumps slightly when you take a step, because you're going to try and calm Morgan, but it makes Casey jump, and he fires. You flinch at the sound, deafening in your ears, sort of instinctively twist out of the path of any potential bullet. I need to roll some dice.
Does Casey have paranoid D12 as well?
He doesn't, although thanks for reminding me, Morgan has drained D8 because of how he slowed time earlier. So I'll use that in Casey's dice pool.
Can I help Morgan get out of the way of this?
What do you do?
Try and shove him. Have my brawl D6.
Yeah, roll a D6 for me. This is being added to Morgan's dice pool.
It's a hitch.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's a hitch for Morgan, Matt. That's the way that works. I rolled for both Morgan and for Casey. Morgan got a 13 to dodge out of the way, plus a hitch on your a brawl attempt there.
Oops.
Casey got a 13 on his attack.
How does that resolve?
The aggressor loses ties.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think Casey failed to beat the difficulty, so Morgan is not shot. But he does have a hitch, so I'm going to say you do knock him to the ground. As you do, you hear kind of a sickening thump as he hits the ground, possibly onto his arm, but he is out of the way of the path of the bullet, which pings off of a piece of instrument and smashes into some glass dial somewhere, buries itself in a console. Casey curses under his breath. Morgan is on the ground between you and him. What do you do?
What's this pistol like? Is it an old service pistol? Is it a automatic pistol?
Yeah, it's an older one, yeah.
Okay. What's Casey's, like, what does Casey look like now? Is that, like, was he surprised by his own firing of the pistol?
He does look surprised, and he's clutching his ear, having equally been kind of deafened by it, just like you, momentarily kind of stunned. But he also looks prepared to try again.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is, like, I'm in a situation I've literally never been in before.
Yeah.
There's a man pointing a gun at both of us. For all that I know, this is in a second after a gunshot. Another one could be forthcoming.
Yes.
I assume in this space, there's consoles and barometers and instruments and, yeah, and things like that. There's also, like, a rolly office chair.
Yes.
Thinking about a sort of James Kirk moment, I'm going to try and lob this office chair at Casey Emerson to try and get that gun off him.
All right, let's give it a go. Let's see what happens. Okay, this is a contest at this stage between the two of you for control over the gun.
Yep.
So I'd like you to start us off, please, as the aggressor in this situation. How many plot points have you got?
2.
Okay. If you wanted to, you could spend a plot point to make a D6 office chair so that your weapon had a little bit of extra punch to it. Mm-hmm. And you'd have that for the scene. Or you might think you don't need it.
I'm thinking maybe I'm, like, kicking it towards him. Like, you know, just sliding it across the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, like, I can use grace here. Can I get him off guard and then run for him?
Sure.
It's probably brawl.
Yes.
So it'd be D8 Grace, D6 Brawl. This is definitely a sucker for the dramatic situation.
Yes.
Right, this is the only way I'm going to get Star Trek into,
go
this,
on,
into this system.
Go on.
I'm going to use my James T. Kirk specialty.
You have a Star Trek specialty specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'll let you use it here. I'll be very kind and generous.
Okay. No hitches, which is a good start.
Well done.
That is a 13 with a D8 effect die.
Okay, very nice. I'm going to give you a frayed D6.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your drained?
My drained is D6.
So I'm going to include those in Casey's response.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do his cunning, D10, his brawl, D6, and his distinction, desperate murderer.
Oh, goodness.
But I'm also going to use his talent, which is called Feral Execution, and says once per scene, he can step down his attribute die, which is the cunning D10, so it goes down to D8, in order to step up his effect die.
Okay.
Number to beat again for me?
13.
13 on the dot.
Oh, man, that sucks for me.
No, that sucks for him.
Oh, I'm the aggressor here, aren't I?
Sure, but this is a contest.
Okay.
So in a contest, it's that back and forth where you need to take it in turns beating each other's difficulty.
All right.
And he has not done that.
Okay.
So since he's failed to beat the difficulty, then you can inflict a D8, because that was your effect die, a D8 complication onto him.
Sure. Like a D8 disarmed?
D8 disarmed is perfect. Absolutely.
Cool. In his distraction, with the chair hurtling towards him,
yeah.
I come, like, as it strikes him, I go for the gun, not even going for him,
yeah.
While he's off balance, and sort of wrestle the gun away from him.
Okay, you've got the gun. He is now on the floor. He tries to scramble to his feet and hurls himself at you with a rah! He's going to attack you.
Okay.
He's the aggressor, but it's another contest, so same as before.
Is this a cunning contest anymore? Or is this more of a vigor situation?
I guess you're right. I hate that.
I'm learning to play Cortex.
You sure are. It's about time. Man, that's so bad.
Uh-oh.
That is a 6 with a hitch.
Casey.
So you can spend that hitch to step down one of your own.
Yeah, I'll take an afraid D4. The 2 D6s I've got currently. No, I won't spend a pop on him.
Okay, you're not going to activate it, that's fine. You can use his disarmed D8 complication. Mm-hmm. And add that to your pool.
Okay. I'm going to pitch. I'm looking around currently for anything to restrain him with. I don't necessarily need this right now, but I want to be aware as to if there is a rope, if there is a cord, if there is something.
There are cords, yeah. There's power cables kind of running, not thick power cables, but there are thin ones running along the foot of each of these power banks.
At some point, I'm going to use that not specialty.
I think here would be the time.
Okay, cool. Then I am, looking for a way to restrain Casey with the knots that I learned in boating club when I was 13.
Go for it. Just got a 6 to beat. Should be doable.
Should be.
But this is a contest, so he'll get another go after this.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Let's roll. That's a couple of hitches.
Mm.
But I have an 8. Oh, that's not a hitch. That's one hitch. That is a 11 with a D8 effect die.
You got a hitch there, so I'm going to give you a plot point. Drained and afraid. Let's push it afraid. Step that up.
That makes sense. I am that.
And I'm sorry, your total one more time?
Was 11.
So he struggles against the cord that you're sort of trying to wrap around him. You've sort of kept the gun. You're still holding it, but it's out of one out of one hand, and you're using your not specialty because you've only got one hand here to try and get him properly restrained. That is another hitch on Casey.
Okay.
It's there if you want it.
I'll step afraid back down.
Okay. But he did beat your total. He's on a 14.
14?
Yes, with a vicious sort of tear. He tries to just simply rip through the cables. This guy's old.
Mm.
I have to clarify. This guy is not in the best of shape, but he seems to have a ferocity that makes up for that lack of vigour. So you can try and beat it. You can also give in which case he gets what he wants, but you get it kind of defined on your terms. In this case, that's going to mean he gets the gun back, because that's what you're fighting over.
I'm going to keep trying.
Bring it on. 14 to beat.
Yep.
Same dice roll as before, I think.
Okay. Currently sitting at a 14.
Okay, but you've got something he doesn't, which is plot points.
Yes.
Any hitches?
One hitch.
One hitch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to wait to activate that and see what you do.
I do have plot points. I can just add another die from here to the total, right?
Yeah, anything you've got showing, as long as it's not a hitch.
I'll spend a plot point, and I will add that other d6 to my total, which will take me to... that would be 20.
20?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, that's a heroic success.
Yes, it is.
Not on its own. Of course, he would get another go, except that I don't think he can be to 20. Mm. And I think he probably knows when he's beat here.
Yeah.
I am going to take that hitch, and I'd like you to be drained D8. I think this is kind of taking it out of you.
This has gone on long enough.
Yes. But he does give in the fight, which means that you get what you want, but he gets to define it on his terms. In this case, I think that's pretty unambiguous. I think that you tie him up, manage to restrain him in such a way that he's not able to get at you. He's not able to really get up off the floor, and you have the gun in your hand. He is otherwise unharmed. That's, I guess, his part of it. Mm-hmm. Is you haven't really hurt him meaningfully.
I sort of like push him into this rolly chair.
Yes.
And like loop the cord around the back of it, such that he's sort of tied into the chair.
This has all gone on in about 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. So Morgan at this point sort of rears up from the floor, and you can see there is a nasty sprained wrist. You can just tell by looking at it, it's kind of bending the wrong way from where he fell. And he mutters, "Motherfucker,
now calm down. Casey, you better start talking."
Casey, now he doesn't have the gun, looks a lot less calm than he did before. And he says, I don't know where to start.
You know what? Tell me about Charlie.
The boy. Yes. His eyes sort of get this faraway look, and he says, that was a long time ago.
Is that when this started?
No. No.
1901?
Further, he says. The tide, that's what we call it. But I imagine the people who came before us called it something else. And the people before them. And the people before them. It is older than the town, older than the country. It lives out there. And he tries his best to point out the window towards the ocean. Far, far below. It can talk to some of us, communicate, mostly through dreams. It chooses special people. People like me. We are the monitors. There have been probably hundreds of us throughout King's Tide's lifetime. Not always up here, not always monitoring the weather like I do. Sometimes fishermen, like in 1901.
What do you do? Does it want you to do this?
We listen. I listen. I'm the only one. I have been for over 3 decades. Just me up here, listening. It tells me things. Things about the past. Things about the future. It's alien, or something close to it.
But sure. I mean, we've had the dreams too. Why would it want us to know about Ian? It said that you were obsolete.
He shakes his head. It's wrong. It is. It wants me dead.
Why?
I made a mistake.
What did you do?
He looks you in the eye and he says, I killed Ian Atkinson.
Motherfucker. You sent those notes?
He nods. I had to. I thought it was a mistake. I thought it was the only way to stop it.
Stop what?
The flood. There's a flood coming. It's coming to take King's Tide. To wash it away. The whole thing. The tide. It was the one that told me. It told me to prepare. It told me it was coming. I don't know when. But I thought I could stop it.
How? What's this got to do with Ian? What's this got to do with little Charlie Harriman? What's this got to do with Gaz?
Morgan steps forward and says, Russell, you don't believe any of this, do you? Aliens in the sea?
Morgan, you're asking me to believe in ghosts. I don't know what to believe.
I wouldn't believe this guy. Look at him. I think he'll tell you anything to make you believe that it's not his fault. Casey says, that's not true. I'm trying to confess. I'm trying to tell you. Morgan says, shut it.
Morgan, calm down. We're going to talk until we're done talking, all right?
Morgan looks at the gun in your hand.
Morgan, calm down.
He raises his hand and turns away, and he goes to sort of slump in the corner of the room, kind of nursing his sprained wrist. You turn your attention back to Casey?
Yeah, I take a few steps, like, toward the other end of the room, basically. But, yeah, just to go and kind of rest on a console.
Yeah.
Get my breath.
You can feel it, kind of, the power kind of humming underneath you. Casey says, "A few weeks ago, I got a vision. Like the dreams, but when you've been doing this long enough, sometimes you get them when you're awake, too. It can be difficult to tell them apart, but I hear the tide's voice. Clearer than you, certainly. And it told me about the flood. And it told me I would die. You're telling me if you weren't in my position, you wouldn't try to find some way to stop it?"
"I don't know. I'm not in your position."
1901. The monitor before me. Two generations back, was a fisherman. Silas Axton. I'd heard stories about it. I'd seen it in dreams. And I went to find out what really happened. There was an article about him, a column. He had a similar vision.
Of the flood.
He thought it was a rapture.
Mm.
He didn't know if the tide was God or the devil, but he knew he had to find a way to stop it, and I think he succeeded. He kidnapped someone. A child. And he took him out on his boat and dropped him over the side. They hanged him for it, but it worked. A sacrifice preventing the flood. And so Kingstide, this town, has been allowed to continue ever since then. Nearly 100 years. Think of all the lives he saved in that time. I thought I could do the same thing.
Wait, what do you mean? You thought Ian?
It could have been anyone. And I'm sorry to both of you, I am. But I thought easier to choose somebody nobody's gonna come looking for.
Well, you got that part wrong.
I got so many things wrong, Russell. Because I don't think it worked. And now the tide is angry. It's angry at me. I disobeyed it. I tried to circumvent its will. For all I know, it did the same thing to Silas Axton that it's doing to me now. But it can't kill me itself. It doesn't have direct influence. It can't just come here. It's too far away. So it sent you.
I get close to Casey.
He flinches.
Take a side glance at Morgan.
Morgan is kind of looking up, but his head's sort of still in his hands.
And there are tears in Russell's eyes. It didn't bring me here, Casey. You did.
He shakes his head. No, no.
You killed Ian, Casey. You forced the hand of the Warthals. You had the power to make a decision. And you fucked up so that we could follow you here.
He shakes his head. He says, no. No, you see.
Tide's got nothing to do with this.
It wants a new monitor. But it can't just get rid of me because I'm... It's in my head. So, it knows that if you kill me, you'll become the monitor. You won't have a choice. It'll be in your head, and it won't let you go. That's why it brought you here. You're a pawn. Don't you see that? It showed you the clues you needed. Everything you needed to put it together. It showed you the person you love telling you to come and find me.
And what? You think that this and a gesture with the gun, you think this is what it wants? Us talking like this?
Look for yourself. And at that point you hear Morgan behind you say, Russell, you can see all of those dials, all the readouts. Everything's going nuts. All the needles are swinging back and forth. The lights with behind them are like illuminating, a couple of them short out, you see a couple of like sparks. It's like the whole room is sort of like waking up around you. It can hear this. It can hear it through me, and it can hear it through you. It's getting closer and closer into your head, and soon, if you pull that trigger, you're not going to be able to tell reality from dreams anymore. You'll be like me, Russell.
Is there a recording device anywhere? Tape recorder?
I think it'd be unlikely, but...
Recorder radio sometimes have microphones on.
I think if you wanted to spend a plot point, you could make there be one.
Last plot point?
I think you could create a helpful asset if you wanted to.
I'll use that. I'm going to rummage through some stuff on the side. Yeah. I think somewhere in there is a sort of decibel meter that records the sort of sound of thunder, how close it is, all that sort of thing. And I think I pull that out and I set it to one side. And I say, tell me again about Ian and the Warsaws.
Why? Why should I?
I click the hammer on the pistol.
It's like the power in the room kind of up, like the floor is kind of throbbing with power. And Casey says, no.
That's a shame. You're not much more use to me. Or it sounds like. We could both avoid this.
Casey's just looking at you, dead in the eye, unblinking, as though daring you.
Russell.
I look around.
Morgan is standing in the middle of the room, just a few paces actually away from you, and he says,
don't do it.
You've changed your tune.
I can feel it. I can feel it in this place. In my head. I think I...
He glances towards that long rectangular window to the east, out to the ocean.
I think I can see it. Let me.
Reaches out for the gun.
To do what, Morgan? To live a life watching it to, what, in 10 years? 5 years? A month?
He has to die.
To kill a child? To kill an innocent?
I would never.
Casey says, I thought so too. I was a kid when I got it. 20, maybe. Younger than you, certainly. My parents died. I came here to live with my aunt. Got a job working the fairground. Before that shut down. And there was a man. He worked at the newspaper. He went out one day, out into the ocean. And drowned himself. The night after that, I had the first dream. Calling me up here. To the station. The previous monitor had died. And the tide needed someone new.
Then... it always will. I think. And I turn to Morgan. Put my hand on Morgan's shoulder. Where his shoulder meets his neck. Say, I think this has to stop. Here.
But how?
I've never seen a flood. And neither has this place. It can tell them what it likes. It can do what it likes. But as long as it calls people... then it will inflict them on each other.
We just let it happen.
We can't bring Ian back. I mean, fuck it, we can't bring Charlie Harriman back. We can't bring anyone back that's been killed. But we can stop doing it this way. It can't control us. It can tell us things. If it wasn't worried that it couldn't control us, this wouldn't be happening.
Morgan nods and says,
what about him?
I was hoping I could get him sent away, sent down, Maybe.
We've no proof.
I wave the recorder.
I don't think he's gonna confess again. I think he'd rather die. I mean, look at him.
And Casey is sort of like whispering and muttering under his breath.
Again, not again. Again, not again.
We have... And I look through some of the documentation on the side. Some of the logs.
Yeah.
To find, presumably, this florid handwriting.
Yeah.
We have photographs. We have handwriting. These schedules leading up to Ian's death. We know where the car is.
The Walsalls won't confess.
They might not confess, but if Gaz is in trouble, if we can get Gaz in trouble, he might turn. Or we let him continue. See him play out this ritual of it. Either way, I'm not going to be part of it.
Morgan nods.
You're right.
He looks over at Casey, and he says,
an anonymous tip. There's something in the weather station. They can come up here, dig around. You could leave your itinerary. Maybe something else. Anything that points them towards the car, to the Walsalls. We don't have to be a part of it. We can skip town.
I suggest that we do.
Morgan says to Casey, if we leave, the dreams stop, right? And Casey says,
I don't know. I've never left.
Last chance, Casey. You're welcome in the backseat.
Casey raises his head and he says, I will not leave. This is where I belong.
I didn't think so.
And the two of you do, as you suggested, place things where the police might find them. Find the newspaper, the 1901 paper that Casey stole on the way out of the building. It's like all the power dies, even the single light bulb above, leaving Casey in the dark.
I take the key from the inside of the door, and I hope, lock him in.
You place a call?
Yeah, from our phone box.
And then the two of you, you and Morgan, leave this place behind. It's a couple of weeks later. The school term has started. You're back in Stockport, working, living in Manchester. You haven't had the dreams. You haven't heard anything. Constantly checking the very primitive King's Tide Mirror newspaper website.
Is it a GeoCities or...?
It is, yeah. And none of the scrolling marquee headlines seem to say anything. Maybe it was for nothing, but it all seems to be behind you now. You've seen Morgan a couple of times. He came back to Manchester. Spread the word about Ian. Not the whole thing. Nobody would believe you, but...
No. That he died in a car collision.
And you have a proper memorial with his community. With all the people who knew him. And it's out there that the two of you properly mourn him for the first time. A little later on, Morgan is saying,
I thought of something this morning, Russell. This flood that's supposed to come.
Yeah.
He said...
Morgan kind of looks around, just in case anybody's overhearing you.
He said it was coming soon. But he said that 100 years ago, the tide said the same thing. To somebody else. That fisherman guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, if that creature is hundreds of years old, thousands, whatever it is, what does soon mean? A lifespan like that? Maybe they're talking about the same flood.
Maybe neither of them could prevent it.
Maybe it had nothing to do with them.
Huh?
Either way, look toward Morgan, sort of put my hand on his across the cafe table. I'm glad we didn't have to make that choice.
And we leave you there at the cafe table, there in the city, just as it starts to rain. Riley Routh as the game moderator, and Matt Turner as Russell Cauldron. Sound design by Harriet Wilmer Richards. Our closing song was Space Song by Girl Ray from their newest album, Prestige. This was a T-Horse Industries production. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit tide.show.